Good morning and welcome to the River Church today. It is a little different experience for us as we worship under coronavirus threats, but we are still worshiping under the presence of our God. And He is a great and good God, and we are blessed to be able to join together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ today. So as we begin, I'd like to offer a short prayer, and we have a few worship elements that we'll share together, and we'll proceed through that. Let's pray together. Father, as we gather together in different ways on this day, we are grateful to know that You are Lord of all things, and You are Lord of all places. And no matter where we are, when we come together in the name of Jesus Christ, You are indeed present with us. And so we thank You for that knowledge, and we thank You for the fellowship that we can share even from a distance on this day. And we await Your blessings as we worship You. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning, if you want to open up your Bibles to Psalm chapter 62, I'm going to read portions of that this morning. You may read through the full length of that passage if you would like. Starting at verse 5 this morning, we read, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge." And continuing on, we've been working on memorizing the Lord's Prayer as a congregation. And so today's litany carries on with that on the next phrase of the prayer. And so we were going to read through that, and you may join in on the people's part, which will maybe sound familiar to you as we've been memorizing it together as a whole. So together we pray. On this day, we come into the presence of our God, praying with our Savior as He taught us to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
We join with Christians around the world as we say,
forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors.
We have done things that we are ashamed of.
We have done things that have hurt others.
Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors.
We have hurt others without even realizing it.
We have not reached out to help others who need help,
who are hurting, or who are hungry.
Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors.
Help us to know when we have sinned.
Help us to turn to You in repentance.
Help us to turn to You for forgiveness.
Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors.
Amen.
Let's pray for Pastor Jim and the message as he begins. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Pastor Jim. And we ask that as he brings Your message to us today, that You will help us understand, give him courage to speak the words You put on his heart today, and help us to go away and live the words and the things that we've learned today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Today our scripture reading is Psalm 46, which is a psalm which was written by the sons of Korah, and it goes in this way: God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, those waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is God's word for us today. Last Sunday, Linda was talking with April, and they were discussing how the children at the school had been responding to the COVID-19 scare. And April said mostly she felt that the kids were frightened. And the media, of course, is giving us messages. I've heard things like don't listen to the news more than once a day because it has the potential to drive all of our emotions to an almost frenzied kind of level. And yet at the same time, this is something which is unprecedented in our lifetime. The last time there was a worldwide pandemic that brought this much fear to people was in 1908 with the Spanish flu, which really precedes all of our lifetimes. So this is something new, but it is something which is already and will continue to impact our lives in significant ways. And so fear is not entirely unwarranted. But here's the thing, at the same time, fear is not something that should control us, but rather ought to be, as much as possible, something that we control. When Franklin Roosevelt assumed the presidency of the United States decades ago, the nation was in the midst of the Great Depression. While most people agree that during his campaign he said very little about what he was actually going to do, he used his inaugural address to grab the attention of the nation. And that address included that famous phrase, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Fear can restrain us. It can cause us to go into hiding. It can immobilize us. It can inhibit our creativity. So for today, let's just put that all on a pause and recognize that our relationship with God gives us another and greater alternative to fear. Scripture maintains that God will always hold control over nature, over people, and the whole warring world, as we've read in Psalm 46. And so I want us to take a look into this psalm today to find the help that we need in our God. We begin with that great phrase, "God is our refuge and strength." As I've been watching news a little bit this week, the only sports news I'm hearing is that the NFL is trying to select new offensive and defensive players for their teams. Offense and defense are really important to a team like that. You need both sides of the line. And when I think about this first phrase of Psalm 46, I see God playing both sides of the line as well. He is our refuge. It really is a way of saying he is our defense. He's our shelter, our safe place. And in threatening times, that's really just what we need. When our family took our trip to Banff last summer, we hit some time up there that was incredibly wet and a little colder than we had expected, which isn't the most comforting thing when you know that your lodging is just this thin little nylon dome tent. But in most of the campgrounds in Banff, we were really comforted to find that they had structures that were built there as well. They were built of stone, and they had an actual roof over top of them. And most of those structures had wood stoves, which we could use, and we could build a fire in there. And so at least for our meal times, we'd go in there, and we'd cook our meal, and we'd heat up the stove that was in there, and we would be comfortable. We had that safe place that we could use. Sometimes we need a refuge. We need a safe place where we can go. And Scripture declares for us, and our experience shows us as well, that God is indeed our refuge. So when we say that God is our refuge, we are saying he's our defense. He's the one who's watching over us. But we also read here that he's our strength, which is the offense. In that sense, the power of God is dynamic, and it's even empowering for us. We have this assurance that we never enter the battle alone. Never alone. And that's a big thing for us as well. Things are always harder when you're alone. Like, for example, last summer our son Joshua decided it really was time for him to paint his barn. And he hesitated and dragged his feet about doing it. And he would tell us, I'm going to paint my barn someday. But he couldn't get at it. And what we realized was that he would look at the barn and say, this thing is big. And how can I do this alone? And so we did come to his rescue, and some days we had as many as 6 to 8 people who might show up to help him, because we had to scrape the barn, and we had to nail boards back onto the barn and replace some boards and then prime some things and paint and paint and paint, and those old dry boards sucked up a lot of paint. But by wintertime, the barn was painted. It happened because we all worked together, because he had strength more than his own to accomplish that purpose in his life. And we need that ourselves in these days and in all days of our lives, really, that we cannot on our own accomplish what God calls us to do in life or even manage all the circumstances of our daily living. And so God comes to be our strength. And he is a powerful strength. The second line of that verse reminds us that God is also an ever-present help in trouble. We need that when we have trouble getting everything else together in our lives, and we go shopping right now, and we can't find hand sanitizer, we can't even find toilet paper, and we need ever-present sense of God being with us to supply the most important things for our lives. When we believe what we need is not available, it is a frightening thing. But when we understand that what we most need in life is always available to us, our fears are diminished. And so we recognize this about our ever-present God. Number one, he is present everywhere. Psalm 139, verse 7 asks, where can I flee from your presence? And when David asks that, it's really just a rhetorical question, because he comes back to answer in the following verses, and you can read through Psalm 139 yourself. It'd be a great passage to read sometime this week, that there really is nowhere that we can go that we are not in the presence of God, because he is everywhere. We also learn of God that he never slumbers or sleeps. Again, from a Psalm 121, 3-4, we read, he who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. This is a God who has us constantly in his attention. And a third thing is, we know that he is always near. Psalm 145, 18-19 declares, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries and saves them. So God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. In verses 4-7, the psalm then goes on to celebrate God's blessing of the city of Jerusalem and the wonder of God's presence with them. I think it's really significant. You might have even noticed that when I was reading through the psalm earlier, that in verse 5, I emphasize those words, God is within her, and therefore she will not fall. God is within her. It means that God is not only near, that God is not only thinking about us from a distance or something like that, that he's not holding his 6-foot border around himself right now, but he is saying, I am within the city. I am that close that I am in this with you. So picture it this way, just thinking about it. Let's just suppose that Don invites somebody to go out fishing in the boat with him sometime this week. And then he gets really jealous because this other guy is catching a whole lot more fish than he is. And so he decides to sink the boat in order to get rid of his competition. Okay, now you know that Don would never do that. He would be happy for that guest, and he wouldn't even think about that.